Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. This is the reading of God's word. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh Father, we pray that your Spirit will work in us, because without his working, there's no way we could truly understand and believe and obey. Oh Father, grant us an ear to hear your word. And through your word, let us see what your Son has done, what he has accomplished for us forever. Let us see who he is, and through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. As we hear your word, let our faith grow, and let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We began looking at this verse last week. It starts, he is also head of the body, the church. Jesus Christ is the head. We have begun looking at this phrase, what this phrase means, the head of the body, the church. Well, it means that Jesus Christ is the representative head. He represents all of his elect. All of his people are united to him in every respect. Thus, all that Jesus has done as our representative are accepted by our God as if we have done them ourselves. So this phrase gives us so much joy that Jesus is the head of the church. Truly amazing grace. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It also means that Jesus Christ is our eternal husband. The Bible said that husbands are the head. So when Jesus is the head of the church, then he is the eternal husband of the church. We must obey him. And Jesus is the head of the church. It means that Jesus is the owner. He is the master. He is the king and the Lord of the body, the church. Again, we must obey. He possesses all authority and he rules over the church, the body. And I say again, the church must obey. The church must do all things according to the word. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Thus, the church will grow and church will be triumphant. Even though visibly it might not look like that, but ultimately, church will be triumphant because Jesus is already triumphant. But his victory is not visible yet. As he comes back, as he returns, his victory will be visible. And because Jesus is the head of the church will endure. And church will be like him. As we see him as he is when he returns, the church will be like him. Now, there's one more aspect of this phrase that Jesus is the head of the church that I would like to look at, and that's what we're going to do today. I know it might be shorter than usual, but I don't think any of you will mind that. Or it might not be. I never know this thing. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ is described as a head and a body relationship. And reason for that is for God to teach us certain principles. He is the head and the church is his body. The body must be united to the head. Otherwise, body cannot survive. Without the head, body has no direction. It just cannot survive. The point here is that all the life, the power, the energy, all that comes from the head. All the life, power, and energy come from Jesus Christ. The body that is not attached to the head is dead body. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to focus on two passages today, and one is Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read from verse 13. And until, see, you and I, as a body, will grow until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. See, this is God's will for us, the church, his body, that we will grow. We will grow to a mature man. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. See, this is God's design. This is his will for the church. That Jesus Christ is the head and the body grows to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The power, the energy, the ability that for that growth will come from the head, Jesus Christ. See, whole body, me and you, we form that body. It says the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, so that we are held together and we help each other. We supply the things that each other needs. According to the proper working of each individual part, through the ministry of every part, as every part edifies the other parts, as we help one another, as together grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's design for his church. And see, first thing you must do is you need to believe. Because if you just judge things by your physical eyes, as you see our church and you look at our church and going, what is going on? it doesn't seem like we're growing. And we're not just talking about numbers, we're talking about spiritual growth. But you need to understand that God will not fail in His plan for His church. He will not fail. And His plan for you is to grow. Being fitted and held together. We are connected and we are united to each other in Jesus Christ. We need one another. And we grow together. Thus the whole body grows. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We read from verse 13, but let us read verse 7. And verse 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7 says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." And you go down to verse 11. "And He gave some of us, some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ." See, God gave gifts to the church. And Christ Himself alone determines that gift according to the measure of Christ's gift. And this is what the Bible teaches, that no matter how you think you are so useless, the fact is that God has given His gift to you, so that you could use that for the edification of the church. Your job is to find it. Your job is to discover it. And God does not lie, which means you have a gift from God that you could use for the edification of the church. But this brings so much joy to us that God designed the church, you know, Jesus' body, so that together we grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is His will for us. See, you need to understand, you need to truly understand your life in biblical terms. See, the world will teach you that your life is about getting good job or making so much money or be successful out there. And I'm not saying all those things are bad in themselves. But see, that is not the focus. Focus is that we, the body, grows. That we grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God's design is that in this growth, that He made it so that everyone needs everyone else. That we need to do our part so that we could grow together. This is what our life is all about. And even your job and your career and whatever that you might be doing, all that has to be in terms of this growth of the body. Because this is God's will, that His plan for the church. See, God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers for three purposes. For equipping of the saints. And for the work of service, and to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, I read NASB, and see, the original Greek does not have any punctuations. It doesn't even have vowels. Only thing it has is consonants, and you need to look at the context to figure out where sentence ends, where sentences are divided. You know, you have to figure that out. So as a translator, many people have different translations because of that. And here we have that problem here. It all depends on where you put the comma. Because original Greek doesn't have punctuation, so we don't know where commas go. Now, NASB, way it translated, it sounds like there's only two purposes. God gave pastors and teachers and all these people for two purposes. Because they didn't put the comma where I believe it should have been. So this is how we read in NASB. Let me read my Bible to you. Verse 6, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. So if you put comma after saints, then that whole thing becomes two purposes rather than one. So it says that for the equipping of saints for the work of service. People who love the lay ministries love this kind of translation. So pastors teach people so that people themselves can do all kinds of ministry. But if you put comma right after saints, that pastors and teachers were given for the equipping of saints and for the work of service. So they are the ones who are doing service, the teachers and the ministers, the pastors. And to the building up of the body of Christ. So the offices are disappearing in modern church. So whatever that God has anointed, you know, pastors and elders and deacons to do, now everybody just does it. And there's that problem, because if everybody just come out, and there's a church like that, that anybody can come out to the pulpit and they could start preach. They say, as the Holy Spirit moves you, you do that. Even though you are not a pastor, in that kind of service, everybody will preach to one another. Problem is that you have to be called to have those kind of offices. And there are things in the church that only those offices can do. So it's all about placement of a comma. But what this verse says is that God gave us even offices. God gives everyone certain gifts. And God is working so that the whole body will grow. So that whole body will become more like Christ. The conclusion is that all is for the building up of the body of Christ. And this is what you need to understand. That everything that you do in your life, it has to be for the building up of Christ's body. See, people have it so wrong. They think that their whole purpose is that, you know, their family, earthly family, and somehow church will help you achieve that purpose, and it's all about your earthly family. And that's not what Bible is teaching. It's actually for the building up of Christ's body, His family. And we need to contribute, we need to do everything that God has given us to do so that this body will not suffer, that it will grow. And we will become more like Christ. That's why you use your money, you use your time, you use everything that you could for that purpose. Building up the body of Christ. And Jesus giving apostles, prophets, and evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. Actually, if you understand correctly, Jesus is the true apostle. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. So Jesus is the true apostle. Jesus is the true teacher. He is the true prophet. He is the true priest. So, Jesus giving teachers and pastors and apostles to the church is Jesus giving himself to the church. Through these offices, Jesus Christ is giving himself to the church. For the building up of the body, that's the purpose. And we are to grow, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Amen. This is the goal. The body must grow, and it will. Now, body will be like the head. See, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. See, faith in Christ and the knowledge of Christ. This is what we are to believe and know, and this is what growing is all about. When you're talking about the body growing, it's not physical growing. And the number of people who will be saved is already determined even before creation. You and I cannot go out and diligently, you know, spread gospel so that we could save one more person than God has intended. That's not what's going on. The body is fixed. That number is fixed. But the body must grow. And it's not physical growth. We're not talking about that. It's about growing spiritually. And what is growing spiritually means? It's about you and I, we know Christ more. That we believe Him more. That we love Him more. Amen. That we know Him more. This is what growing is all about. This is why, as a pastor, my job, I take it really seriously, is to teach. Because you have to know. Knowing Jesus Christ more and more, this is what growing is all about. Because eternal life is knowing Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, verse 3. This is eternal life. What is eternal life? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. See, whatever idea you might have about what eternal life is, here's biblical answer. It's about you knowing God. That's what eternal life is all about. To become the mature man is to know Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking about head knowledge, that you know about Him, but that you have true relationship with Him. That He knows you and you know Him. See, we will be like Jesus Christ. We will know Him perfectly. We will grow to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We will grow to the full growth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing grace. Man, full growth of Jesus Christ. We will grow to that fullness. That we will be like Him. That we will know Him perfectly. This is God's will for you as a body to grow like this together. And His design is that we help one another. We need to edify one another. You need to think about what you could do so that the whole body will grow. This is what your concern should be. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of man, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. You know, we are no longer to be children. And notice that being mature and being children are in terms of our knowledge of Christ. See, in the world, when you're old, you have knowledge of how things work in this world. You have more knowledge than children. But this knowledge has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. In Christianity, to become a mature person, it's not that you are old and your age is like beyond, you know, you're 70 or 80. That's not what it means. You could grow to a mature person even when you only have become Christian for 4 years compared to someone who was Christian for like 50 years. You could still be more mature than that 50-year-old person. Because it's in terms of your knowledge of Christ. It's how much you know Christ. Brothers and sisters, there is a progress in between now and being the mature man, the perfect man. And we are to grow. We are not to stay as children. And you know, I used to say this a lot, but now the, you know, Toys R Us, they're closing down. But you remember their commercial? Toys R Us kids, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. That is completely opposite of what the Bible is teaching. We must grow. And not just our individual self grow, but we must grow together. Because all of us together are body of Christ. The description of being a child, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, is not knowing the truth. Thus tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You go to this church and they teach you this, and you go to another one and they teach you something other, and you don't even know what truth is. That's being like a child. But when you know Christ, when you know the truth, then you are no longer a child. No matter what kind of church you go, no matter whom you talk, you know the truth. We are to grow so that we may know Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men. According to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. See, the head, our Lord Jesus Christ, he causes the body to grow. He protects, he guards, he defends, he keeps, he rules that body. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, own body, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. See, because we are his body, Jesus cherishes it. He nourishes it. He protects it, guards it, keeps it, defends it, rules it. So ultimately, that growth is guaranteed. But God's design is not that we just understand that it is God who is make that body grow and we just do nothing. But God's design, God's plan is that we participate in that growth. This is how he planned. And we must obey his will. We see a similar thing in John chapter 15. Let us go there. John 15, chapter 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Okay. Chapter 15, verse 2, the latter half says that, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. So you have this picture, God pruning the branches so that branches will bear more fruits and more fruits. You know, there's a reason why we have a room there. If everybody's focus is on that child as we worship, I don't think it's helping. We need to focus on God and his word. Please, brothers and sisters. It just hinders me when I see everybody looking at, you know, turning around and things like that. You gotta help me. Please help me. John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. As the branches, our job is to abide in the vine, be united to Jesus Christ. Because all the nutrients come from the vine, Jesus Christ. So we have a similar picture. There's body and the head, and all the nutrients, all the power, ability comes from the head. And here we have the same kind of picture. Tree and branches, and in order for branches to bear fruit, it has to get nutrient from the tree. And the vine, the tree, is Jesus Christ. And that's the whole point. That our job is to be attached to Jesus Christ. In order for us to grow, then, we need to receive nutrients from Christ. That means we need to be attached to Christ, and that our union with Christ has to be stronger and stronger. And only way that we could do that is to hold Jesus Christ fast. Because if you are cut off from Christ, then as a branch, it will be all dried up and it will be burned, which cannot happen if you are truly His branches. But how then union be established? John chapter 15 verse 7a says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. His words abide in us because it is only the word of God that will give us the knowledge of Christ. So our growth is by the word of God. And Jesus is giving us his word because it is his word. Actually, Jesus is giving himself to us because he is the word. Thus, John chapter 1 starts, in the beginning there was word, and that word is Jesus Christ. His word abides in us. Continue to trust his word. Believe in his word. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God's will for us is that we grow. That Christ's body is to grow. It means to know more of the truth, the gospel. It means to know more of Jesus Christ. And we must hold tight the head. Only from the head, all the powers and energies and nutrients, all the abilities come. So you and I, we need to hold tight to the head, Jesus Christ. See, Colossians chapter 2, verse 19, the false teachers are not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. The problem of false teachers are that they're not holding fast unto Christ. Everything that they teach and what they believe is not about Christ. It has nothing to do with Christ. But see, you and I, we hold on to Christ. And then, we will grow. It's God's design. He will not withhold nutrients from you. He will give you His word, so that we may grow. Even today, even right now, you and I, we are being supplied with all that we need to grow. That's why we worship. That's why we come to Bible study. This is God's way of giving us that nutrient that we need to grow. We need to know Christ, and His Word is all about Christ. So brothers and sisters, rejoice and give thanks that even as you sit there and worship and hear God's word, what is happening? Well, we are being supplied by our Lord Jesus Christ so that we may grow. To grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that is our desire. We want to be like Christ. Just like Him. And we will. And this is what is happening even as we worship Him together. Amazing grace. That God caused us to come here and worship and hear His word. Even though we might be, I don't know, we want to do something else out there. But God will not let you. Because His will for you is that you will grow. That's right. To the fullness of Himself, Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is your will for us, your church, the body, to grow. Grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, together, will be like Christ. And Father, that is our ultimate desire. And we thank you that that is exactly your will for us. They will be like Christ. Oh Father, pour out your grace. Give us everything we need so that we may grow. And let us understand that in this growing, there's growing pains. But even that pain, we gladly endure because we want to grow and be like Christ more and more. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.